Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Praise the Lord. Now, we've been in our series, I Can. Last week, we pulled out a character named Paul who helped us express the scripture Philippians 4:13, which simply says, I can do all things through him or through Christ who gives me strength. So we know through God we can do all things. Without him, we can do nothing. And if we want the same result or the announcement that Paul had, remember last week we said we have to pray like him. We got to think like him. And then we will know him. God can do, we can do all things through him. So that was last week's sermon. However, when you pick people like Paul to be the example of any sermon, I don't know about you, when I pick that goody-goody, I think he's so good, he's so great. Of course, he's going to do everything right and say everything right. And could you pick some different people in the Bible who can, you know, help us feel like we're normal because we don't always do all things through Christ, think that way or act that way. It's a good announcement, but sometimes we don't find ourselves having the ability to actually execute what they executed. And that's okay. You got to have those people who execute at the highest level. And guess what? Then there's us who kind of maybe execute in the middle, you know, sometimes because we don't find ourselves leaning on that grace at all times. Today, I'm going to deal with where we're at. I'm not guessing about where we're at as a congregation. I pray and I know where we're at as a congregation, but don't worry, God's going to give us to be lifted up out of this particular place and dilemma we're in and taken to another place. Today, I'm going to announce that almost all of us have a problem. We have a problem because at some point or another, the solicitation of the enemy to doubt what God has said over our life about our ability to do things has come and is so real to us that we are more focused on what we cannot do than what we can do. We look at that little mountain that's up there. Look at that man. You know you can't do that. And you thinking to yourself, why did he do it? And you thinking when he can't get back. And you don't know if he's going to land where he should land. And everything's telling you when you look at a picture like that is, I'm probably not going to ever do that. I'm glad. This is what you say. I'm glad he could, but I can't. And so even in our common sense, everyday vernacular, we somehow eliminate the I can because we don't want to be known as extremists. So even if you can't announce today that those words I can, I'm going to announce something over you by the Spirit, and it's the simple change that you can. Maybe you can't announce it for yourself that I can, but I'm saying you can. I know you can because you're in the right place at the right time under the right word to deal with the situations and circumstances that you're facing right now, which we're going to get into. Now, I love that Jesus was one of the people in Matthew 21 who used the only words that I could find in the Bible to say you can connect it together. This is Matthew 21:21 in the NIV Bible. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith or if you have the word and do not doubt, not only can you do, see, you can do what was done to this fig tree. He had cursed the fig tree and come back and seen it withered away. But also you can say to the mountain, go throw yourself in the sea. And it will be done. If you believe what? The word, you will receive whatsoever you ask for in prayer. So you can, and this is a powerful statement and promise of Jesus. Jesus is doing something that seems supernatural in nature, unbelievable. They were astonished at his ability to speak to something and see so rapidly the results. And the immediate thing on the inside of their hearts is, we cannot, and Jesus responds before they can even get it out their mouth. He said, you can do what I've done. You've got to do it by faith. And if you do it by faith, then you are actually, you can speak. You can speak to a mountain and say, be removed. Be thou cast in the sea. And if you don't doubt what? The word that initiates this outcome or this outpouring in your life, you're going to have whatever you say. But herein lies our problem. It's like the words of that song. We can know this truth and fail to have it activated in our life. We have a problem. The guy I'm going to use today to show us our problem is David. David, and we're going to be in 1 Samuel 30. The problem is we sin. And when we sin, we automatically disqualify ourselves from the promises. We automatically stop speaking the word and speaking to mountains and speaking those things which God has spoken to us because we feel that we should not and cannot. But I love that song that says, we fall down, but we fall down, but we. The saint is just the sinner who fell down, but. See, like. Okay. Y'all can join. Y'all can join in the other church. No, I'm playing. No, y'all can join. Y'all got talent. The adversary is constantly telling you what you cannot do, what you cannot have, whereas God is constantly telling you, you can say, you can do all things. And now you and I have a conflict. Like David did, he had a problem. We're going to go into it. We're not dealing with a goody-goody. David's conflict existed even though he was anointed. David's conflict existed even though he had killed a bear by the Spirit of God. David's conflict and problems existed even though he had killed a lion. David's conflicts existed even though he had killed a giant. David's conflicts existed even though Saul killed 1,000 and David killed 10,000. This guy still ended up with challenges and problems. And I know that somehow we think we're going to live victorious enough days of victory where that victory is just perpetual and you have no more problems and no more pain that will cause you to be into a conflict of whether you're going to agree with the word and speak that thing or whether you're going to agree with the challenges that you're going through and speak those things. You and I have a choice today. I've learned so much from my mom, who was a you can person because she was an I can person. No matter how many times our family found ourselves in peril, homelessness, hungry, my mom said, you can't. Mama, we hungry. She said, eat a mustard sandwich. I said, Mama, it's only the end. She said, those are the best parts. My mama said, it's nothing to drink but water. She said, just think it's Kool-Aid. You know, it's whatever. You know, you can if you're here. My mom was such a you can person. By the time I started college, she started college, but she's got more degrees than me by 3. And I'm just trying to tell you, it's because she never believed she could. In fact, she's still in class today. She's still in college today. She's still pursuing today and having 6 kids to deal with, having to work a job she's been at for 40 years. She still was able to do it, not because she thought that she could. She was an I can person who turned into you can person. She was showing me what I can do. And if God could do it through her, she could. In fact, the first time I ever heard about healing was from my mother, who became blind for a season, and she was taken to a woman's house who introduced her to Christ and led her to the Lord and prayed a prayer with her until she received her sight back. So even when she looks at sickness, when I was growing up, she just got into the, because I could through Christ, then you can. And I looked at people in my family who had sicknesses and disease and who still functioned in life. And whenever I looked at them, my mom would pull me to the side and she'd say, see how they are doing it. Therefore, I'm giving you no excuse why you can't do it. And she used to tell me it's an insult to the people who have more deficiencies than you do for you to act like you cannot do when they are doing with so much less than you are. So my mom was teaching me, you got to have I can mentality. And she was able to tell me that you can because she had an I can. Love my mom for that. So David gives us our subject. Our text today, is coming from 1 Samuel 30. And we're going to see these points enumerated here. You and I have a problem that's coming against the you can in our life. But if you and I would just stop pursuing what we think and start pursuing God, we can get that you can going. When this is active in your life, it's going to make you pause, slow down, be patient, especially with people, because as long as your you can is about you and it doesn't get into a broader group of people that's around you, it's not big enough yet. Your you can has got to be big enough for you and everybody around you. And then when you're thinking right and you'll be able to pause in the pressure moments, God would then allow you to pursue your enemies to the point that they are plundered, pummeled, punished. And the Bible says when you initiate contact with your enemy, not only when you do it in the right spirit, the right way, in the right time, based on what God is telling you you can do, when you do it right, the Bible says he's got to give you back what he has taken plus 7. And I'm here to let you know, I saw a robbery in the spirit. Robbing you and I of joy, health, strength, wealth, purpose, relationship, focus, just robbed. And the worst thing about being robbed is when you resign yourself to the fact that you're just not going to have those things anymore. And now you're just enduring life and becoming like what some studies say, 16 to 18 million Americans, clinically depressed, hopeless. Oh, but today, that's what we're coming against. But let me help you understand, through not using Paul, we're not going to use Jesus, we're going to use David to show you somebody who has a life similar to ours. Up, down. Up, down. Up, 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 up. Down, 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 down. Praise him. Let me set this context up for you. This context you have to get by reading chapter 20, 1 Samuel 25, all the way to the 31st verse. But I'm going to give you the speed version so I can contextualize our points. David has been chased by Saul for so long, he's 100% frustrated. He's in the promised land with the promise to be king, having been anointed. He, having done everything right, has come to the point where he's exasperated with the fact that everything wrong is happening to him. He's lost his wife. He's lost his relationship with his brothers. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his dignity. And even though they were singing these great songs about him, he's become an enemy of the state, though the state exists because of him. He can no longer comprehend why he should be in these type of problems when he is not the guilty party. Have you ever been in that place where you did everything right, at least in your own mind, and you can't understand why the bad things are still happening to you? And it's frustrating you to no end. Yes. To be in the wilderness, David, which is to try you and to test you. You're in the wilderness, Jesus, to be tempted of the devil once you're weakened after not eating food. You're in the wilderness, children of Israel, to be tested and proven whether or not you're going to hold on to the word that produces the outpouring and takes you into the promise, or whether you're going to reject the word and get the results of rejecting the word, which is death. Here's the problem David's in. And so he makes an announcement, I believe, in chapter 27. He says, the Bible says, he said it this way. Thank you, Lord. I almost missed that. He said, David said in his heart, I'm going to leave the promised land And I'm going to go over to the Philistine country across the other way. And then the problems that are being produced for me in the promised land, even though God has protected me from my ultimate demise and my ultimate death, because I'm sick of being pursued, I'm sick of being tested, I'm sick of being proven, I'm going to remove myself from the land of promise, go over to the land of my enemy. I feel this is the right thing in my heart. And he says, Saul's going to stop chasing me then, because I'm sick of waiting on God's spiritual solutions. I'm going to leave the place that has given me a promise of ruling, reigning, and prospering, and I'm going over to the enemy side. If God is not going to show up and get me out of all this wilderness living, I know how to prosper. I know how to handle my own business. I'm sorry. Have you ever been there, church, where you said, I'm taking matters in my own hand. I'm not saying I'm leaving you, Lord, but I'm leaving your game plan. Because your game plan is slow, irritating. It bothers me. You do what you want when you want to do it. You always talk about I can't do you. But you know, I got a choice in this. I don't like this. So it crosses over from the promise to his enemy's camp. He ends up, I won't tell you that much yet. Let's go to, I just contextualize it for you. So now he's hanging out on the enemy side. And as a result of where he's at, here's what happens. Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, they had been out raiding. They had been out being mercenaries. They had been out being vigilantes. They had been out killing the Amalekites. They had been out taking plunder from the enemies and sending it back to a king named Achish that was the king on the enemy side. They had been out killing men, women, children, burning up towns. And they had done it on such a regular basis to win favor with the king who had given them a fortress in Ziklag on the enemy side. And to make him happy and to make sure he was comfortable with them, they would go out and do all of these raidings and send word back to this king and that they had been tormenting Judah. Now, it was a lie. David crossed over the enemy's camp, and one of the first things we find out, he started lying. He wasn't killing Amalekites. I mean, he wasn't killing Judeans. He wasn't killing Israelites. He was killing Amalekites. He had left the land of promise, and he wanted everybody to think he'd gone so far. And in his mind, he had a limit to where he would go, but he was getting further and further away. Because I'm going to help you understand this, how sin works. I'm just going, you know, I stopped smoking, but I just like the contact. I didn't heard that one. I just contact. Then, you know, I didn't inhale. Then I accidentally swallowed it. then that one cigarette buzz turned into a little, we used to say reefer. When it's tighter. All of a sudden, the enemy is taking you further than you want to go. He went from doing legitimate kingdom warrior work for Jesus to doing illegitimate work with his same strength without a word that's taking him to the point that he has aligned himself with the enemy against Saul. You must hear what I'm saying. Two chapters before, God gives him an opportunity to kill Saul in a cave and another opportunity to kill Saul. And Abishai said, I'm going to stab him right through. They right there. And David says, you can't touch God's anointed. You can't curse what God blesses. God will deal with him. But man, God, if the man who touches God's anointed is in big trouble. He went from that radical disposition. When he was in the right place, he could be in the right man. But when he crossed over to the enemy's camp, he aligned himself with the king Achish and said, Saul gonna die today. I help you. All of a sudden, the very things he was against, now he is saying he is for. You can't cross over into the enemy's camp and not think it won't adjust you. I know you've been, if you are a believer and you name Jesus Christ, your only chance to make it in this world is to stay consistent. But this man, he had had enough. And he took the warrior strength that God gave him. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord came on him when he killed the lion. The Spirit of the Lord came on him when he killed the bear. The Spirit of the Lord. He said, I don't come at you with, you come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. He was going to win his battles in the name of the Lord. Not all of a sudden, when you get to the other side, he's being all wild with his killing. And he's killing anybody and anything. And he's being reckless to the point that he would actually go against God's anointed. Have you ever found yourself saying something against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible clearly says he died for the church. The Bible clearly says he's coming back for the church. The Bible clearly says he loves the church just like he loved Israel. And if I'm not going to let you say something about my wife, well, where do you think you get that stand up in you from? You get it from God. He don't want nobody to say anything about his church. Now, David has a problem because his problem is now with God. When he was in the process, he just had to be patient. But when he crossed over, he had a problem. It's a big one. But let me show you what it cost him, why you had to hear that so clearly. You see, in David, the king said, I don't want you fighting with me because all my men, we don't trust you. So y'all going back home to Ziklag. And the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire. This is David's house. The Amalekites are the people he's been fighting against without a word from God. And take him captive, the women and all who were within it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more tears. Have you ever been in that type of pain when your family goes through something? Losing your house, losing your spouse, your children, your money, and everything is painful. David's two wives also had been captive, Ahinoam and of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughter. People mad, hot. Because David hadn't been a good shepherd. He hasn't been a good leader. He's got them fighting the wrong people. It's not that these people didn't have judgment from God against them. Even when somebody has a judgment of God against them, you still can't move on your own accord. You have to move when God tells you to move. And because of it, when you're in the wrong place, just like you, when you're in the wrong place, it doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody that's connected to you. His family got burned up at their house. They got captured. And now everything is going wrong. But what you do in the moment of crisis determines everything. I think they have a Chinese symbol for crisis that means danger and opportunity. Yes, there is danger, but there's also an opportunity within the danger to do the right thing. And the Bible says, the next verse, David strengthened himself in the Lord. David got back in touch with what the word of the Lord was. David started reminding himself that he was anointed by Jesse to be a king. David started reminding himself time and time again about how many times God had rescued him out of perilous times. And the word became so real to him that the presence came, because in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And in the presence of the Lord, you get strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He began to get strengthened from God. The presence of the God is around him. And now he's able to draw strength from the fact that God will not forget me, but God watches over his word to perform it. What I'm saying, as long as you're alive and there's a word that you're blessed, you're in the game. Now this, you got to hear it, because this is why I picked David. He is a murdering, lying, conniving son of a gun right now. God is not loving him when he's got it all right. Hear me. God is about to send love to David when he's got everything wrong. But the Bible says he begins to pursue God. He goes to Abiathar, the priest. He gets the ephod. He gets the Urim out. This is the items that were in the ephod that went inside the pocket of the priest, and it was right over their heart. It was something that they used to determine God's will. It was like two stones or two sticks. One was black, one was white, and you asked the Lord a question, and then if it's the white stick, then you know you can do it or not. He began to seek people, the priest, and then he began to seek God's word and answer, and he asked God this question: shall I pursue my enemy? Put that scripture up there. Shall I pursue my enemy? He said, pursue them, for you shall surely overtake them, and you shall rescue all. He got a word from God to pursue, because he got with God's people. It's something about the person's nail that God anoints to deliver you a word. It's something about pursuing that word from those people and then pursuing God. But when you get a word, you got another chance to win. The word was pursue. And you're going to win. Now, when you get this kind of word, as you pursue God, then he said, you can pursue your enemy. You know what you can do? Rest. Because David had been solving his own problems up until now. Hear me. He'd been solving his own problems. But when you pursue God in the midst of all of your crisis, and you get a word, you can rest. Because all he want to know, am I going to get my wife back, my kids back, my family back? God says, yes. Here's where we go wrong when people come to me and they say they want a divorce. I give them the word, God's going to restore your family. But then in the midst of that, there's work that has to be done as you got to pursue. I'm not telling you there's not a word to restore. There's a word to restore. But you still have to participate with God in your pursuit of your enemy. You pursue God, and then he shows you how to pursue and chase your enemy down. He doesn't just solve it from heaven and just wipe it all clean. He gives you an opportunity to participate. You've got a word over your business. You got a word over your business. Stop thinking you're about to shut down. Stop thinking you're not going to get the contract. Stop thinking you're not going to get everything you need. It's always going to work out. You stay in the land of promise. Don't cross over to the enemy's camp. Don't do things that violate your conscience. Don't fudge the numbers. Don't change your tax information so that you can get, you know, more loan. Don't fudge it. Stop the fudging. Because then you don't have the promise of good, you got the promise. The Bible said, if you don't hearken diligently to his voice, if you hearken not diligently to his voice, he said, cursed are you. That promise awaits, just like the promise of blessing awaits if you hearken to what God says. Y'all alive? I know, hit me too. But still say amen. Praise him. Now, David, in the next few verses, skip down to where the army begins to proceed. He has 600 men, and they begin to go. And in the 10th verse, the 7th verse, and David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Abimelech, go down to the 9th verse. So David set out, and the 600 men with him, and they came to a brook of Bezor, where those who were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 200 men stayed behind, who were too exhausted to cross Bezor. Then they found an Egyptian in the open country and brought him to David. And they gave him bread to eat. They gave him water to drink. They gave him a piece of cake and fig and clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit was revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunken water for 3 days. Now, when you pursue God and God gives you a word that you can pursue your enemies, it gives you the patience you need to pause for people. Sometimes we get a word from God for business, ministry, and everything else, and it's so all-consuming that we believe that we can be reckless in the pursuit of things instead of pausing for people. If you go out on the word and you don't take all the people who are designed to go with you because you're too busy, you're too in a hurry, your wife's trying to slow you down, I'll get you, your kids trying to slow you, I'll get you, you know, you don't have time for any people. David was so focused on himself that he put all the people under his leadership in peril until the point that they lost everything. But now he's showing a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction. He didn't say he repented. He's living like a repentant man, because the first time he gets a sign that the men in his army that have already gone 3 days and 100 kilometers and then one more day to Bezer of 25 kilometers and they're exhausted, he doesn't say, "Don't you love your family? Come on, we got to get them. We got to get them. We got to go. Come on, push. No, he says, "Y'all wait here. Who's tired? Y'all take your time. Drink some. Just set up camp. Who wants to go? 400? Okay. We're going to continue on the word. Y'all with us still. I love you. Don't worry. Hey, it's all right. Okay. I'm going to get your wife back. I got you. Okay." He pauses for people that he was ignoring previously. This is important. Pause for his family. Because this is the closest family for him. Then he runs into an Egyptian who hadn't eaten in 3 days, and he pauses again. Now he's pausing in the midst of himself needing to recover something that's very valuable to him. But he stops. For somebody who could be an adversary, he feeds him a captain's meal, raisins. You just get bread and water. He's giving them raisins and all that. He's giving them clusters. Taking care of them. Do you have time to care for others? Is your pursuit of the word of God over your life cause you to run so fast that you can't pause for others? Life is about people. God died for people. Wow, I got to go. Where are you going so fast on Sunday? You going home to sit down. Watch the game later. Why are you running away from me? Oh, you... You know, people be needing stuff. I just try to get out. I got to get out. Why? Stop getting out. Get in. Because when you've got a word, there's something that settles you. That whatever I was rushing to actually make my life better, that I'm concerned about, the Bible said, cast my care upon him because he cares for me. I don't have to worry about it. He's got it taken care of. I can pause for you. It's an important point. He pauses, and here's the benefit of pausing. He realizes after serving the man that the man is an Amalekite and that the man was a part of the raiding party that burned Ziklag, burned his house, took all of his family, and now David is getting an opportunity to interrogate the very person who has the information to tell him where the enemy is. Because yes, he's pursuing the enemy, but you know what? He don't even know where the enemy is. He went out in a word by faith, and on the journey, on the way of just going, because God said pursue, he finds the answer in a person he paused for. He pauses and he said to the man, "Say, look, if you don't kill me, I'll tell you where they at. They burned all your stuff and left me here dead because I got sick. Now, if you don't kill me, I will take you right down to where they at. I don't have allegiance to them. They left me." See, it's just like the Good Samaritan. See, the priest passed by the person that was broken on the road. The Levite, the person with the word that says, do good to strangers. That is a law of the Torah. No. He passed by, but a Samaritan, a half-breed, somebody that don't have the full word according to them, would stop for a stranger and set him up until everything was all right. It's something that is so godly about us pausing and bearing one another's burdens. It's something that pleases God. And God said, wait. You're available for an upgrade now. I'm going to give you more than you even asked for. I'm going to give you exactly that location. I'm not going to make you wander around here for another month or another year. I told you was going to get your people, but I didn't tell you exactly when you was going to get your people. So now that you not ignoring me and ignoring others and you're pausing to take care of my business, like I said, let me let you know, they're right down there. They're right down there with your stuff. The devil is right down there with your stuff. The final point is plunder. The Bible says he gets down there, verse 16, and when he had taken him down, the Egyptian took him down there, behold, they were spread abroad all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing. That's what the devils do. No, I'm not saying over you can eat and drink. The devil's dancing. You know, that's why I grew up. You couldn't dance and do nothing. But basically, this is a sign that they're intoxicated. They're not thinking right. They're not sober. They're not focused. That's how the enemy does. Because of all the great spoil they had taken of the land of Philistines and the land of Judah. See, the devil is trying to laugh at us because it seems like the laws are against us now. The devil's trying to laugh at us because he's got us on so many issues that we care about. Like abortion and same-sex situations. The church has a stand in opposition to the way that the world is doing these things. But it seems like the enemy has something on us. Like now we cannot speak. We won't have anything. And he's boasting. He's got all of our stuff and he's just intoxicated. But let me tell you something about your adversary. So that you will not cease to be who you are anointed to be. It doesn't matter what he took yesterday. If I run up on his camp with a word from God to pursue, then I'll really get my enemy. I'll get my laws back. I'll get my schools back. I'll get my community back. I'll get my life back. Whatever he's taken, my strength, my wealth, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. I'm going to tell you, when I find my enemy, the Bible says he struck him down from the breaking of day all the way to midnight, only let 400 get away so the word could get out. The Bible says he plundered and got back everything. The reason I named this point plunder is because if he just got back his wife and his children and his cattle, that would just be the word of the Lord to protect and give you the promise. But oh, he got more than that. Plunder signifies that he got all of the stuff that the enemy had been piling up for himself. He got back what he took plus seven. You see, when you obey the word and stop focusing on your demise and your trouble and trying to get out of the land of promise because it's a wilderness season, when you just hold on to the word and you pursue God and he gives you a word to pursue your enemy and you're willing to pause now for people, he'll give you the plunder, not just the protection, the plunder. David then knows how the story's supposed to end. He said, God, all this time I figured it out. You've been trying to bless me. The word over my life is blessed. And I've been running around like I'm cursed. And I'm blessed. And I'm through with it. And they gave David all the cattle. So he instantly became the richest. See, God will give you what you need. But let me tell you what he turned around and did. He went back to those he paused for, the 200, gave them back their wives, their cattle, and gave them a portion. He gave the 400 a portion. But he went further than that. Everybody who ever helped him, 14 cities that helped him run from Saul, he sent them a portion in Judah. And why was that important? Because God gives you bread to eat, and he gives you. He gave David bread to eat, and he gave him. And he began to distribute it. And when he distributed it to Judah, when King Saul died a chapter later, Do you know who made him king? Judah did. Everybody that he sent something to. You see, when you fight on your terms, you don't get the promise. You get punishment. But when you fight on God's terms, pursuing him whether you can, you will. You'll be rewarded. He gets into his rightful place, rightful position, with more than enough. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm blessed. Glory to God. So what should you be doing as a result of this message today? Thinking about how you're going home to pursue God until you get a word that tells you the strategy to pursue your enemy. But when you get the word, you're not going to be reckless. You're going to have the ability to pause for people. And in pausing for those around you and those you meet that just need your help, God is going to be accelerating the answer to you. Not just to get back what was stolen, but to get plunder. And when you get this, if you would understand that it's part of his bread to eat and part of his seed to sow, and if you would think of your strength that way and sow some of it, and your joy that way and sow some of it, and your wealth that way and sow some of it, then God said, oh, you want to be king now. Because now you acting like kings have to act. Now I'm going to give you your kingdom. God is trying to give everybody in this church more than you can imagine. You have told yourself you're average. That is not the word over your life. You told yourself that, you know, you're not one of those people who are going to be blessed and reach your goals. That is not the word of you. I don't care if you're the oldest person in this room, the most senior person in this room, or the young. The word over our house is blessed, 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 blessed. I'm so blessed. Yes, blessed, blessed, blessed coming in, blessed going out. Blessed in your house, blessed in your health. Everything in your life is blessed. So forget the negative words you've been speaking over your life. Forget them. They're over. Pursue God so you can pursue your enemy. Pause for people around you and strangers. Get all the plunder, but don't forget to be a provider. Not just for you, but for those that God shows you. Lord, bless your people today. In Upper Venue, bless those people today. God, I pray as we leave this place that you will go with us. You will keep us all in remembrance of your word. Keep us in the center of your will and as the apple of your eye. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can. You can. You can. You can. God bless you. We love you. Ministry team, come on down. If you have any prayer needs, we're here for you.